The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Father God, we pray now as we look into your word that you would speak to our hearts, that you would stretch our faith, that you would make us a people of big faith and big prayers. I join Gary in praying for Meta, that he would have his heart and his eyes, his whole life completely open to you. God, I know these kind of prayers are possible because you're a God of great things. God, we thank you that Mike Rafsky gave his heart to you after Becky and Anthony were praying for years. And just a couple weeks ago, he opened up his heart to you. Thank you for another family. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it yet, but their dad gave his heart to you just this past week. And God, we pray for countless other people who are in our families but don't know you, that they would come into your family. And hear our prayers this morning and let us hear from you. In your name we pray. Amen. So this morning, we're continuing Team Hope, and I've got a lot of ground to cover to get us out even close to on time. We started this series called Team Hope. The picture is this. In churches, many times we hear the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus. That is true. Jesus is not just some figure that hangs in a picture on your wall for us to adore and worship. We do adore Jesus. We do worship him. But he is a living, breathing God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants to fill our lives and be involved in a personal, intimate relationship with each of us. But oftentimes we don't hear about the importance of a shared relationship with Jesus. Jesus didn't only come to be your personal Savior, but he also came to be our groom as we are his bride, as we form this thing called the church. We are the church. The church isn't a building. You hear this every week from me. Each and every one of you who have been transformed by the love of Jesus, who have put your faith in him, you are building blocks that make up the body of Christ. We together are the church. We are what we call Team Hope. Hope Hill Church is here to be on Jesus' team, to bring hope to the world, to those who do not yet know him. We've been looking each week at different ways that we're to do that, by serving, by helping pull off autism walks, by going out and taking care of our neighbor, by raking the leaves of your neighbor like you're going to do this week because that neighbor can't get out and do it, right? That was for somebody. I don't know why I said it, but it was for someone. We are here to bring hope to the world because we are God's plan A. The church, he rose up. He's building his church so that we will extend his love to our world, and we're called to do it together. How are you doing it? Today, we're going to look specifically at what does it mean to be people of faith. What's it mean to be praying big prayers? We want to be faith-filled. We want to be big thinking. We do not want to insult our God with small thinking or safe living. My prayer is that we will be a people of big faith and big prayers. And my question to you this morning is, where is your faith? How big is your faith? How are your prayers? How big are your prayers? If Jesus were to look at every prayer you prayed this last week, just think of the past week, how different would our world be today if his answer was yes to every prayer you prayed? How different? If you came out of last week and Jesus had answered every prayers, what would you celebrate? Oh, man, I'm so glad Jesus answered my prayers. My food was blessed last week. Is that it? Is that all you got? How did you pray last week? Well, we made it to grandma's safe. I prayed we'd get there safe. Is that it? Is that all you got? Where's your big prayers? Well, I prayed that there'd be a parking spot so I wouldn't have to walk very far this morning. God answered my prayer. Is that it? Jesus is looking at us, and he's going to either see us with faith or without faith. There are two passages of scripture I want to launch off this morning. First one is found in Mark chapter 6. As Jesus was walking around doing ministry in the world where he was living and touching the lives that were around him, there were many people that were hearing him teach, and there was something different about him. For some reason, it's as if he knew what he was saying. And as he was touching lives, people's lives were being changed. People were being healed. Blind were being able to see. Dead people were coming out of the grave. It was crazy, the stuff that Jesus was doing while he was here on earth. And when he went back to his hometown on this one occasion, things didn't quite go
left from a place where he was in Mark chapter 6. And he went on to his hometown, it says, accompanied by his disciples, his close friends that were with him and learning from him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. I'm in chapter 6 of Mark, verse 1 and following. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard it were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that he's been given? What are these remarks? Sorry, the shadow on my Bible's not letting me read it well. What are these remarkable miracles that he's performing? Isn't this the son of the carpenter, others said? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. What was going on is he returned to his own people, and they were like, there must be something wrong because we know this dude. This dude, he made my couch. His dad came over and they built a table. He's not this prophet. Where's this stuff coming from that he's talking about? He came to his own, the scripture said, and his own received him not. They rejected him. He went to his hometown. And he was amazed by them. Look what it says in verse 4. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do many miracles there except to lay his hand on only a few sick people and heal them. Look at these words in verse 6. He was amazed at their what? Was amazed at their lack of faith. In the book of Luke, we see another contrasting story. Situation here is there's the centurion guard, a man appointed by Rome to kind of make sure things stay in order in this particular area. The centurion guard had even heard about Jesus and heard he was in his neck of the woods, and so he sent out word for Jesus to come to his own care because he had a servant in high need, and he knew he needed this dude, Jesus. So he sends word for Jesus. And while Jesus makes his way there, the centurion guard actually runs out to him and says, you know what, I don't want to bother you too much, but just say the word, and I know my servant will be healed. You don't have to come. I give orders, and they're done left and right. You have even more power. Just say the word, and I know my servant will be healed. And there, in Luke, these words are said in verse 9 of chapter 7. When Jesus heard this, he was what? Amazed. He was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such what? Great faith, even in Israel. He came to his own, and his own received him not, and yet those who were not his own, he gave the right to become his own if they put their faith and belief in him. So the centurion guard came and said, just say the word, Jesus. You don't even have to come. Just say it and I know it will be. And Jesus said, there is great faith. Over here, he was amazed at their lack of faith. And I don't mean that personally to you all. But over here, he was amazed at their great faith. Where are you on the scale? Each week we've been pausing and you have this number line in your notes, 1 through 10. I want you to look at yourself. Where are you today when it comes to faith? How much faith do you have? Look at your past week. What kind of prayers did you pray? God, I prayed for God to bless my food. I prayed for God to make all the red lights turn green. Wow, that's some big prayers right there. What kind of faith do you have? What kind of prayers have you been praying? If God were to answer every prayer you ever prayed, how many people would be saved today? When was the last time you prayed for that coworker you know needs Jesus so bad? If God answered every prayer you prayed, how many orphans would be adopted tomorrow? If God answered every prayer you prayed, how many people would be trying to get into a church service because they want to know more about this man named Jesus? Or are you just praying for food to be blessed, for parking spots, and to make it safe to grandma's house? Where's your faith? This morning, I want to give us, real quick, in the short time we have left, three faith-filled facts. three things that will help us develop a stronger faith, because regardless of if you're a two or three or four, God wants us to move up and grow in our faith each and every day, knowing Him and knowing what He wants to do in our life. The first thing we have to be aware of is that you cannot play it safe and please God. You can't just go on doing the easy, I can accomplish that type stuff and think you're going to have something to be excited about. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. A song we sang earlier. I don't remember the words, but it had something to do with about God doing the impossible. It is impossible to please God without faith. If you can accomplish your goals without God in your own power, then your goals are too small. You're not dreaming big enough. I want God to look at our church and say, I'm amazed at their faith and not the lack of it. When I worked at a Christian camp about 20 years ago, I got to learn how to run the ropes course. We had some high ropes, low ropes, and I loved running them. What I didn't love so much was doing them. We had this one thing called a leap of faith, and you literally climbed up about 25, 30 feet in the air. You stood on this little platform, maybe one by one. It was pretty small. I mean, literally, your like toes hung over the end of it, even when you were up against the tree. And it was scary. How many of you are into that kind of thing? How many of you are like, no way? Well, that's pretty much how I am. No way with that kind of stuff. But I figured I had to prove myself. I had to prove my manliness. So I don't know why I thought that, but pretty lame. I got up there, and I'm shaking. I'm holding on to this tree. There's no way I'm letting go. And the way this worked is you're strapped in. There's somebody down there. You know, they're tied to you, belaying you, or whatever it was called. And there's a handlebar, like a trapeze thing. And you just jump and grab it. And it's that simple. Then you swing, and then you let go, and they lower you down. I'm like, this is going to be easy. I'm up there freaking out. You know, I'm, God, please. And this tree's starting to sway, and I'm like, no. And I'm not a cusser, okay? I do not cuss. I mean, I've hurt myself bad. I've hit my finger with a hammer. I have to intentionally, consciously cuss, okay? And it doesn't happen that often, all right? I wanted to cuss so bad. I was up there, oh, Jesus. And so I finally went, and I should have easily grabbed that thing, but I was so distracted by the ground that I just, wah, and I fell, and oh, shoot, okay? I mean, I really did say shoot. I didn't say the other word. I'm not just lying because I am a pastor, and I am telling the truth, but you get what I'm saying. Sometimes to take a leap of faith, it's scary. And sometimes you just have to do it because, you know, what's the greatest thing? I was strapped in. Sure, I was thinking all kinds of things. Well, what if the rope breaks? What if the belay things? There was all kinds of things I was thinking. And anyway, sometimes you just have to take the leap of faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. And if we can accomplish our own goals and our own power, then our goals are not big enough. We have to be willing. There was a little man named Peter cruising in a boat with his friends, his 11 friends, and they're out, and the storms get bad, and they're wondering why the storm's so bad, and where's Jesus in all of this? What's going on? And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. Mike thinks he teleported in. So Jesus is like teleporting from like, Scotty, beam me down. And he's on the water now, walking towards the boat. And Peter looks out and he's like, it's Jesus. How in the world is he walking? I want to do that. A lot of people criticize Peter. He made a lot of stupid mistakes and a lot of stupid things. But at least he was the one willing to get out of the boat. And yeah, he ends up taking a couple steps. If you don't know the story, read it. It's an awesome story. He takes a couple steps in the water, and his eyes are on Jesus, and he's literally walking on water, which is crazy to even think about. But a couple steps in, he loses focus of Jesus, and he sees the wind and the waves around him, and he begins to sink. Oh, he's such a loser. He failed. He was the only one willing to get out of the boat. And a failure is not that bad, because many times failure is the first way to discover the love and power of God in your life. So as soon as he began to sink, Jesus' hand was there. I got you. And he picked Peter up, and they both got back in the boat. We need to be a people who never let the fear of failure stop us from taking a step of faith. We have to realize that we cannot play it safe and please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Number two, as long as we have a guarantee, you don't have faith. Faith is the confidence in Hebrews 11, a great chapter, by the way. I think summer, if you're here with us, I think we're going to do a whole series based on Hebrews 11. It's just going to be called By Faith. We're going to see Hebrews chapter 11 has account after account of people doing awesome things because of their faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 starts off, faith is the confidence, the assurance, the confidence. You just know it. Faith is the confidence that what we've been guaranteed. Is that what it says? That what we hope for. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. We have to become people who are willing to take steps even though we don't know what the end is going to look like. Many of us, we want to know what steps 3, 4, and 5 before we take steps 1 and 2. But God is looking for some people that are simply willing to take that leap of faith, to trust in him. And when he says go, we are obedient and we go. I grew up not having very much faith in myself, especially when it came to dating relationships. I was the kind of guy that only asked a girl out if I already knew what her answer would be. How many of you that way? I remember writing notes as a little kid. Do you like me? Check a box. Yes, no, and just in case, maybe. I wanted options. I didn't want to be told no. I didn't even ask my own wife to be my girlfriend. Somebody else had to do it. And they didn't get permission from me because I wouldn't have given them. I am not a person of great faith when it comes to relationships. But thankfully, God put things together and I have an amazing wife. Some of us, we're like that when it comes to steps of faith. We don't want to take that steps unless we know what the answer is going to be. We want to make sure it's going to work out the way we want it to work out. Some of us in this room, we have a little bit of a control issue. Any amens there? We want to make sure things are falling just in line the way we want them. We want to make sure we know that every box is going to be checked, that everything is going to follow an exact plan. We want to make sure things are in control. You can't have faith and control at the same time. We have to be willing to let God be in control. And in the great words of the great theologian, what's her name? I just ruined the joke. Country Western singer, Jesus Take the Wheel. Thank you, Carrie Underwood. We need to let Jesus take the wheel. We need to let him lead us. Let him direct our paths. When it came to planning a church, this is great. There's a lot of awesome stuff happening, but this is not the first time that we tried to plant a church. Brandy and I, we went into church planning in 2002, and in many ways it was a failure. It wasn't that it was bad, because in the midst of that failing, we fell into God's arms. We learned that he was going to be there. We learned things that we needed to know in order to get it a little bit better the second time around. We have to be willing to let go and let God. And in this mission of a church, We're believing in God for bigger things. We don't feel like we've made it just because we have a couple services and the room is half full. We're nowhere near what God has called us. And it's not about how many times we can fill up a gym. It's about how many people still need to know who Jesus is. It's about how many people that God has put in this world that he's called us to meet their needs, so that they will see our good works and come to know him and glorify him, our Father in heaven. So we have this dream called Hope for Nova, where we see thousands and thousands of people come to know Jesus because their tangible needs are being met. This dream is so big, we know it's too big for any one local church, so we've reached out. I've been a pastor in this area for about 20 years. I've got other friends who are pastors, by the way. Father God, I pray right now for Pastor Chris. We don't know exactly what's going on, but we pray that you heal whatever's going on in his life this morning and be with his church. In your name we pray. Amen. I got a text this morning from Chris's wife saying, please pray for Chris. We're taking him to the ER. So it's not good on a Sunday morning when a pastor has to go to the hospital. So we're praying for you, Chris. We have pastors in other churches that are friends. We've got people in other organizations that want to partner with us. Emmanuel Baptist Church sent their staff to come check out our Hope House because they heard about our mission and our vision. And they're like, financially, what's it going to take to go to the next level? How can we help as a church? We're believing God for big dreams. We're believing God for big miracles. What does faith look like for you? If you were to start to pray big prayers and God will begin to answer them, because we have a God who wants to do big things in our lives, what would happen? Would your marriage be saved? You've got three kids and you've been praying. Maybe God wants you to take that step of faith and he's like, okay, I'm ready for number four. Maybe you've not been able to have children and the big step of faith God's leading you to take is to adopt a child. There's 40 or so in need right here in Prince William County looking for a home. Maybe the step of faith for you and your family would be to start to tithe. Maybe the step of faith would be that you're going to start that community group in your neighborhood. What is the step of faith that God is leading you to take? As long as you have a guarantee, you don't have faith. Like Peter, we just need to learn to step out to find out. You have to step out to find out. Number three, to step towards your destiny, you have to step away from your security. In order for me to reach that goal of reaching that ring that hung out ahead of me, I had to let go of the tree behind me. Some of us need to stop being tree huggers. At least there was a couple, there was no laughs the first hour. They were all sleeping by this point. We need to let go of the things behind us that we're holding on to, and we need to reach out towards what's ahead of us. God has so much more ahead of us that he wants us to accomplish in his name. By faith, in Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed God and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. We don't know where God is leading us. We know that he's leading us to make a difference in this community. We have some rough pictures and ideas of what that will look like, but we don't know exactly. But we're going anyway. And we're looking for people to be a part of Team Hope to go there with us. We're looking for people who are willing to take that leap of faith and jump for that swing. We're looking for people like Peter who are willing to step out of the boat in the midst of a storm and not be distracted by things like wind and waves around us, because they're always going to be there. But Jesus is there as well. And as we take steps of faith, we need to learn to keep our eyes focused on the author and the perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, who will hold us and sustain us and lead us into what he has for us. This morning, I want us to look at how this could play out in our own lives. Some of you, taking the step of faith, you might lead you to start a new business. You've been waiting, and God's been waiting, saying, what are you waiting for? Some of you, it's moving. I don't know what's holding you, but God wants you to move on to whatever's next, and you need to take that step. Some of you, it's you're going to start serving in our Hope Kids ministry. Some of you, you have time on your hands, and you're not sure what to do with it. We have a ton of opportunities, and you just need to be brave enough to step out in that step of faith. Let God lead you one step at a time, and he will meet you in that step. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. As our band comes up and leads us in a time of closing, my question to you this morning is, what is God leading you to do? What kind of faith do you have, and how is God wanting you to stretch it? God will not call us to do anything that he will not enable us to do. We don't always know how. We don't always know when. But we know who, and that who is God, and God has plans for us. And his plans are big. So we need to start being a people that pray big prayers and have big faith. And instead of taking communion this morning, I want to encourage you as our band plays to do two things. One, I want you to take this time and just be still and quiet before God. Or maybe lean over to your loved one. And together, you say, God, how is it that you want to stretch our faith? What step of faith are you calling us to take next? And I want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you and lead you and guide you. In addition to that, I want to invite those of you who are like, you know what? I'm believing God. I'm trusting God. You know, some of you, I think I prayed this. I don't remember what I sometimes say from service to service. There was a group of people praying for a dad for like the last 5 years that dad would come to Jesus. Did I already talk about this? This past week, over a cup of coffee, he gave his heart to Jesus. Some of you need to start praying for your dad. Some of you need to start praying for your neighbor. Some of you need to start praying for that person that God's laying in your heart right now. Praying big prayers of faith, saying, God, help me to be that person who leads him to you. Help me to reach my coworker. Maybe today after church, you're supposed to send them a text and say, hey, are you watching the game? Come on over. And you build that relationship with them, getting together with them so you have the right to be heard later when you have a chance to share your faith. What is the step of faith Jesus is leading you to take? Let's take it. The second part of this is, if you're like, okay, I want to be a part of Team Hope. I want to help Hope Hill Church achieve its dreams that God is giving it. And I want to invite you to come up and to form a small circle up here, just standing around like a big football huddle. And I want you to begin praying with us about Featherstone Plaza. Do you have a picture of that, Mason? We have our first Hope House. We believe that God's going to help us raise up many more. Emmanuel Baptist said we want to start a Hope House. I forget the church's name. Pastor Jeff Kenny up by Lake Ridge Mobile Home Park. They just moved into the Seventh-day Adventist Church where my old church, Christ Our Lord Church, was meeting. They moved into that church building right next to a trailer park, and they said, we know you all have a Hope House at Forest Park. We want to buy a trailer and have a Hope House here in our neighborhood. We are believing that these Hope Houses will spread. We're also believing that God will give us what we call Hope Centers. That building there at Featherstone Plaza, the bottom of it, 45,000 square feet, has been vacant for 20 years. Our board has been meeting with the owners of it, brainstorming a way that we can bring a community center into that neighborhood. There's a trailer park right across the street. There's all kinds of low-income housing around it. There's high need over there. And our dream is that we would establish a Hope Center there, counseling centers, community theater. There's an old movie theater there. Tutoring center, food pantry, crisis pregnancy center, and a place where new church plants can get started. I'm praying for $1 million. I'm not just pulling a number out of the air. We need $1 million just to kind of get the ball moving. The place is in need of a lot of renovation. We've got the Southern Baptist Convention saying we have an organization called Baptist Builders. We'll come and build it out for free if you can buy the materials. God can do this. Hope Hill Church only has about $80,000 in the bank. It's not quite close enough to $1 million, but God has it. We need to start praying these ways, not just praying that God blesses our food and gives us a close spot, but praying that God drops $1 million checks into our bank account so we can continue to do his mission. So, spend some time praying on your own, and then when you're ready, come up here and let's pray for Featherstone, that God will open up the doors. We have a meeting coming up in the next week or two with the owners there to talk about how we can get in there. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, that's the first thing you need to do. Your first step of faith, maybe coming up here and saying, Pastor John, I need to accept Jesus into my life. So as everybody's praying, get out of your seat and come on up. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would just move, speak to our hearts as individuals right now. Show us the areas of our life, God, where you want to use us, where we work, maybe in the school where we volunteer. Maybe just, reaching out to the neighbor across the street. Show us where.